This is a WATD Political Forum on 95.9 WATD. Online at 95.9WATD.com. Now, live from Studio B, here's your moderator, WATD's Christine James.
Thank you and good evening. Welcome to a WATD Political Forum. I'm Christine James, your moderator. Joining me, our Monday night show host and reporter, Kevin Tachi. Hello, Kevin.
Hello, Christine.
And along with our own Charles Mathewson.
Hello, Christine.
Hello. Marshfield Community Television is also here. Good evening, everybody.
Hello, Christine.
Hello. The race for Marshfield Selectman is an open seat, as Steve Robbins is not running for re-election. He's running for the Board of Public Works instead. We have the four candidates in studio with us tonight, Joseph Kelleher, Lawrence Keene, Stephen Marr, and Thomas Vasurka. We're so glad you could join us tonight, gentlemen. Marshfield election is Saturday, April 29th. Now, our format is simple. We've asked the candidates to have prepared opening and closing statements ready. The opening is 2 minutes. It can be as short as you want, but no longer than 2 minutes. Closing no longer than 1 minute, please. We have a round of questions from the reporters, and I reserve the right as moderator to jump in and ask questions as well, or tell people to get to the point if they need that. We also have a lightning round. That's my favorite part. That's where the answers are either yes or no, not yes or no with a long explanation or soliloquy, or one or two sentences tops. We find that this is almost impossible for people running for office to do.
The struggle is real.
It is. So, again, why wouldn't it be my favorite part? Also, try to keep your answers to a minute. At 1 minute, you get the warning, and then you get the bell. Now, keeping time over there is our own lovely Miss Amy Leonard. Thank you. WATD's own Vanna. And she has some cards over there. Green means go. Red means stop. And yellow means you have 10 seconds. So everybody, I think, is pretty clear on what the deal is. Now, we did choose opening and closing order out of the official WATD newsroom koozie earlier tonight. So first up will be Joseph Kelleher, then Stephen Marr, then Thomas Vasurka, and then Lawrence Keene. And we reversed that order at the end. So let's get started with our opening comments tonight and get to meet the candidates here running for the Board of Selectmen in Marshfield. We say good evening now to Joseph Kelleher.
Good evening, and thanks for having me here tonight. I moved to town in 1997 and helped raise a family, two boys, twins, who went through the Marshfield school system, graduated from Marshfield High last year, and are now off to college. I'm also a partner in a law firm down in Plymouth, a small business, and I've helped run that small business for many years. I've served on the Marshfield Advisory Board for 3 years, and that was a tremendous experience. It helped me learn to see how a budget came together, how the different departments worked together in bringing the town warrant to town meeting and having it pass. I've also served on the Marshfield Zoning and Board of Appeals for 13 years, the last 3 years as the chairman, and I'm proud of the accomplishments that we have done over that time period. Marshfield faces some exciting challenges and unique opportunities in the upcoming years, and I believe my skill set and leadership will bring, and along as unique perspective, is what Marshfield needs at this time, not only from my municipal experience and volunteering for the town and seeing how the boards operate and how this town government functions, but also from my professional experience. I have represented clients in different boards from Cape Cod to Berkshire County, and I have seen how different towns operate and function, and I would bring that to the to Marshfield to help it run as a more efficient government for its citizens. I'm also a 20-year resident, and like any resident, I've had good experiences and bad experiences at Town Hall. And I would bring that to help Town Hall run more efficiently, have the better management of the process, streamline the services so that the citizens are given the correct information the first time, whether it's paying a bill online or obtaining a permit. Now, I will bring this, I will look at any problem with Marshfield from all these different perspectives, and I will put Marshfield first, as I've done for 15 years, and that I hope to earn your vote on April 29th. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was the opening statement from Joseph Kelleher, and now we're going to go to Stephen Marr. I hope I haven't messed up the order here, have I?
Nope.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, hi, I'm Steve Marr. I've been a lifelong summer resident of Marshfield. My parents had a summer home, as did my grandparents. 12 years ago, my wife and I bought our own house so that we could have a place for our five children to summer and a place for us to go once our kids went off on their own. 2 years ago, my youngest went off to college and we decided to move here permanently. Unfortunately, at the same time, we had a pipe break and had to tear down the house and completely rebuild it. basically because of water damage from the broken pipe. However, the positive experience I had interacting with individuals at Town Hall, rebuilding our house, was really what made me want to give back, find a way to give back to the town. And so in 2016, I ran for and was elected to the planning board. I was subsequently appointed to be the planning board representative on the housing partnership. Although I enjoyed being on the planning board, I made the decision to run for selectman because I thought my skills were better suited for the selectman. Well, I think there's a number of quality individuals willing to dedicate their time to the town, which I think should be greatly appreciated. I think the town needed the financial and business skills that I bring, particularly now that the town is reaching a budget of just under $100 million. As for my experience, until 2000, I was the CFO of Hartford Insurance, one of the largest insurance company in the world, one of their divisions. I was responsible for budgeting, planning, projections, financial management. I also started and ran several businesses, managing up to 500 people. And under my direction, the businesses were profitable and growing, among the most profitable growing businesses of the Hartford, with high customer employee satisfaction and retention. During my career, I was assigned to numerous turnaround assignments for underperforming businesses or operations. And I approach issues where a situation where I don't feel I have all the answers, but I have the skills and experience to determine what's needed and to implement the changes. Since leaving the Hartford, I started my own consulting business back in 2000. I also joined the board of directors of Free the Slaves, an international anti-slavery group in District of Columbia in Washington, D.C. I was elected treasurer and board chairman, and
At this point,
I'm quasi-retired, and I have the time and energy to devote to the Board of Selectmen.
Okay, thank you very much. That was our opening statement here, Stephen Moore. Let's go on now to Thomas Vasirka.
Before I start, I'd like to thank WATD, but most of all the listeners, for taking the time to listen to this forum. My name is Thomas J. Vasirka, Jr., and I'm running for the Marshall Board of Selectmen. I've been married to my lovely wife, Angela, for 11 years and have two children, Thomas III, who's 6 years old, and attends first grade at Daniel Webster School, and Gianna, who's 4 years old, and attends Cherub's Daycare. I'm a graduate of Catholic Memorial High School. After high school, I attended Northeast Institute of Technology for electrical. I'm a master electrician since 1986 to the present. I also work for a funeral home for the last 26 years till present, and I work for the U.S. Postal Service for 14 years as a supervisor of customer service dealing with financial budgets, personnel, and unions. One of my top priorities has always been to assist others and to offer open and constant communication to work together for an even better Marshfield. I am running for the Board of Selectmen because I know that I can help Marshfield be better. Marshfield has been very good to me and my family through the years, and now it is time for me to step up and give back. I promise to be a new voice for all the people. I bring fresh ideas, honesty, integrity, transparency to my candidacy. Briefly, some components of my platform for election include always being accessible and accountable to our citizens. I work tirelessly to improve morale and communication at Town Hall. I plan to work with all boards and commissions to provide a level of communication that they deserve. They will include weekly meetings with them. I have a fiscal responsibility while in my leadership at the role of the Postal Service, which this fiscal responsibility, I was asked to balance a budget and oversee allocation of funds for different projects for everyday use. Ensuring that tax dollars are spent appropriately will always be my top priority. I promise to work tirelessly for all citizens. I've been hearing from the citizens that I've met in the community involvement in some of the decisions made on behalf of Marshfield. For example, they need to feel welcome and appreciated at the meetings where they want to voice their opinions on issues. As a taxpayer... finally, I look forward to sending additional business to come and stay in Marshfield.
Thank you very much. Thank you. That was Thomas Vasirka. And now we're going to move on to Lawrence Keene.
Thank you, WATD and Marshfield residents, for having me here tonight. My name is Larry Keene. I've been in Marshfield since the 1960s as either a resident or as a business owner of the original Brent Rock Package Store. I'm also a member of the Marshfield High School class of 1980. I work for an international insurance company assessing and paying damage claims and a member of the company's catastrophe team. I've traveled around the country assessing heavy losses in storm areas, assisting people in their time of need. I'm very familiar with FEMA in both filing claims on my own property in Brent Rock and handling claims presented to my employer. This area of expertise will be beneficial. Some of my goals as a member of the selectmen will be to make the working relationship between the residents, the town of Marshfield, Town Hall, its different departments, professional, timely, and as stress-free as possible. I have numerous fresh ideas that will assist our residents in tax payments, local services, and inspectoral services. I don't feel we are using modern tools and ideas to handle many of these areas. I would also like to get more people involved in local government by simply informing residents of upcoming elections and providing a complete list of appointed positions on boards and how to go about that process. This information could simply be provided by the town website. I would encourage people to seek positions in their areas of expertise or interest. Town boards with existing members for 15, 20 years and more is not the way to go. We tend to get our style stuck in the same old way of doing things with no new ideas. I will work with all elected boards, department heads, and Marshfield Town employees as needed to benefit the Marshfield residents. I will direct all appointed board members to handle items in front of them as quickly and professionally as possible, with the idea in mind that these people often have paid professionals with them at a substantial cost. Thank you for having us here tonight.
Thank you very much. That was the opening statement of Lawrence Keene. Now we're going to go to, hello, Kevin.
Kevin Tocci.
It's going to go to Kevin Tocci. And we're going to go to you to ask the first question, because this is your showtime and your question and who you'd like to direct it at first.
We'll start with Steve. It's fair to say you spent your a fair share amount of time at Town Hall working with other departments?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would you say that there's any communication issues or friction going on between departments?
Yeah, I think there is some. I actually developed a pretty good relationship with the people I had to work with when I was rebuilding my house. And they actually were pretty vocal about some of their issues and concerns. And I haven't really set out to draw their conclusions, because some people gripe, and their gripe is completely legitimate. Sometimes it's misplaced. But it's something I would definitely want to look into if I elected selectmen, and try to see what the underlying issue is. One issue that did seem to be apparent was there was significant turnover in the supervisory staff over the last year. And that's one area that I'd be concerned about, which seemed to be partially related to the way they were managed and overseen. And if you have unhappy supervisors, you pretty much have unhappy staff, and you have an ineffective and inefficient operation. So.
My follow-up question to you, is there a simple solution to improving communication at Town Hall?
Well, I don't think there's a simple solution. I think we take a number of things. I'd like to see, as was mentioned by some of the other candidates, I'd like to see the boards interact better than they do. I think, I've been on two different boards and never seen any members from any of the boards, even though the selectmen are supposed to be there and Rocco's supposed to be there on occasion. I think by having some cross-pollination between boards and having people show up, I mean, like, for example, the planning board does require that they have members on some of the other boards, which I think is beneficial. So I think doing something like that would be a big step forward.
Okay. Tom or Thomas?
Either one.
Okay. I guess I'm going to ask you the same question. Do you feel that Marshfield Town Hall and town departments are user-friendly? And a similar follow-up, and I would say, is how can a fresh perspective like yours help change the atmosphere at Town Hall?
Well, I think coming from the construction industry, pulling permits in Town Hall is a process. You have to do it online. You have to wait for responses to come back to you, back and forth on the computer. By the time you get the response back, it could be weeks later. Where other towns, you go right in, you get the permit right away, as soon as you fill it out. As far as communications in the town, boards, and yeah, it definitely can be improved, because you go to one board, you get one answer, and you go to another board, you get another answer. So it's not like they're all on the same page. You can see there's a difference, and you can see there's definitely no one's talking to anybody.
Okay, but if you're elected, what do you feel you can do to kind of help with your fellow selectmen to improve the atmosphere at Town Hall?
I would like to have weekly meetings with them, with all the boards, so you can all be on the same page, and maybe offer some incentives to the employees to get the morale up. I mean, take down the glasses another way. I mean, you go in there, some of them are all boarded up with glass. It's not friendly walking in there. It's not a warm place to walk into. I've been to town halls where there's somebody greeting you at the door. No one greets you there. It tells you, the building's square, but you don't know, if you're new, you don't know which way you're going, where the offices are. So, I mean, just simple things like that, just greeting people when they come in. Everybody having a smile on their face.
Like Walmart.
Yeah.
Okay.
Smiley sticker.
Yeah.
Okay. Larry, same question to you. Do you feel the town hall and the town departments are user-friendly?
I think there's definitely a disconnect with the boards, that many of the boards aren't communicating with each other. I think they clearly need better communication. As far as walking into the town hall goes, my disagreement with one of my other candidates here is when he says that if you have poor management or the management is unhappy, that you have unhappy employees. I think it's could be just the opposite. You need to build the morale of the employees that when you walk in the door. I just recently had to go into town hall to pay a tax bill, and I had a question on it. And Patrick's a town accountant. I was probably 5, 6, 7 people deep. He came out of his office to service me. That was a pleasant experience. You don't always get that. And as far as pulling permits goes at the building department, it's clearly a workout. And one of the ways of stimulating some of our town is to make that process easier. In the industry I'm in, we need to do inspections also, but we've been using more modern techniques and ways of inspecting things than the old process. They're doing it like it was 20 years ago. There's no need to.
Okay. Same question for you, Joseph. Do you know of any problems with communications or town hall being user-friendly?
I think the town hall has gotten better over the past couple of years, but there's still some improvements that can be made to make it user-friendly. I think, you know, certainly I've seen in the building department and always you get the correct information the first time. And as I said earlier, I've heard that complaint for people that come in front of our board. I would look to try to instill that so that when people come in, they get the right information the first time, so they're not coming back multiple times. Improvements that can be made, I think a liaison from the selectman's office. They have department head meetings every week. He or she could be there at that meeting to hear from the different department heads to try to bridge the gap, to try to instill, if there is a communication problem, to do that. And sometimes not always. The town administrator may not be there, so if someone from the selectman's office is there, that can help facilitate that and speak directly with the department heads to help them work out any problems that they may have, especially if they're frustrated with the communication.
Okay. Let's move on to Charles Mathewson. Questions for the candidates and who the question is directed at.
Okay, guys, this is for each of you. Everywhere you go in the state, in the country for that matter, one of the biggest issues looming is OPEB and its unfunded liability. In the proposed budget going to town meeting, we see $0 going to the OPEB trust. How is putting this off wise, or what do you think about it?
Before we get started here, just for those of you listening at home, that's, was it other post-employment benefits?
Other okay. post-employment benefits.
All right.
Joe?
So the question, I'm just...
The article, I think it's 7, in the proposed town meeting, proposes putting no dollars towards the OPEB trust. And Marshfield has about a $70 million nut to make there.
Yeah, I sat in on the on one of the selectmen's meetings, and I believe the reasoning behind that, there wasn't any money to put in there, so that obviously is a problem. It's something that I have been trying to come up to speed on because there is, as you said, $70 million out there. I don't know all the answers to that right at this point in time, but the fact that we don't have enough money is not something that's satisfactory at this point in time.
Because those bills are going to come due.
Exactly. So I think we always have to be looking forward to say, okay, we're going to put it off now, but what are the ramifications for doing this 1 year, 2 years, 3 years from now? And from what I've seen, that's been a lot of the problems at town hall, is that they're just kicking the can down the road and they're not having looking at it globally.
Steve, what about putting money towards the future?
This actually is an issue I do have a particular concern with. I'm an actuary, so I in my opinion, liability should be fully funded. They're not required by accounting rules to be fully funded. But basically what you're doing, you're just kicking the can down the road. You're not only the money that didn't get paid, but also the interest on those funds that would have been earned are also lost. And eventually you're going to have to, you know, the bill is going to come due. So I'm actually opposed to the way the accounting allows you to postpone the funding of obligations.
There's some requirements under GASB 45, I think.
Well, there's requirements. You have to have a certain percentage of your funding, depending on what the projected liabilities, but you don't have to fully fund.
Right.
Okay, so that's what I have an issue with. But it is allowed. It's allowed in businesses, which is why a lot of times you have individuals who have guaranteed pensions who don't get their pensions because the company went out of business before they had a chance to fund the liability, gets kicked out of the federal government. But one of the problems, one of the reasons we aren't funding it is exactly as Joe said, that the town's saying it doesn't have the money. But one of the reasons it doesn't have the money, because I don't think it does a very effective job planning from a financial perspective, which is one thing I think I could
Five
bring.
Seconds.
Okay. Anyway.
And remember, if you feel like if there was a particular question or idea you didn't get to answer fully or you wanted to add more, you can always do that in your closing statement,
yeah, thank
too.
You.
Great.
Tom, what do you think about insufficiently funding the OPEB trust?
Like the other gentleman have just said too, there's an issue. They find money for other issues or other things to fund, but things that should be funded that they can't find the money for. Every year they bring more and more money in, and there's less and less money to go to these things. I just think there's poor planning and poor allocation of the money that's going out. And I, you know, from seeing what's been going on and where, who has a say in where it goes, it seems like it's certain people, they put, you know, the funding where they want to go, not where sometimes it needs to go.
Larry, what do you think about OPEB?
Well, clearly this has been an issue, but it's not an issue that's coming up today. This has been going on for years. It's something that clearly needs to get a handle on. I'm not for kicking the can down the road any further. It's something that needs to be addressed. If we need to start making some hard choices, then that's what we're going to have to do. And I'll tell you right now, if I get elected, I'm probably going to call Steve up and speak to him. He's probably the most qualified here to be answering that question. Doesn't mean he's the most qualified for selectmen, but he seems very knowledgeable. And I hope whoever ends up winning this seat will take some good ideas from what we have and reach out to each other, and maybe the town can go forward.
Thank you.
Any other follow-ups? Just a reminder, you're listening to a political forum here on 95.9 FM Marshfield. The race is for a selectman. We've got the four candidates here, and they're answering some questions. All of you have spoken in a common theme where you're talking about the management at Town Hall doesn't seem like it's moving in the right direction and maybe seems to be its worst enemy. Do you think it's time for the form of town management in Marshfield to change, to go to a town manager and maybe go to or a board of five selectmen? Let's start with you, Larry King.
I'm all for a five-member board of selectmen. I think we're well past that time. That's something that should be done immediately. I am not for, and one of the things being kicked around here around town is going to an elected town meeting. I'm not for that. That's one of the areas that the everyday citizen can go and have his voice. I am absolutely for independent elected boards that work independently of each other. As far as appointed board members go, I'm not for 10, 15, 20-year appointed board members. I think it's time to change that over. We need to get more people involved. Even going down to this election to try to find when the election was and what seats were available should be a lot more readily available on the town website.
What about a town manager as opposed to a town administrator?
I don't think at this, maybe a strong town manager, that may be something in consideration. Somebody that's here at the town hall that can kind of make some of the tough decisions. We may be ready for that. As far as the city of Marshfield goes, I'm not for that. I don't think we're to that point yet.
Okay, same question, Joe Kelliver. What do you think? Town manager versus administrator, three-member board, five-member board. Would it make a difference?
I'm for a five-member board. I think it would make a difference. It would bring more diversity to the board. I think having more people on the board, more wider array of ideas to help bring the solutions to help Marshfield. As far as a town manager, I am in favor of that. We have to get the right person in there. I'm hoping, though, with this, the charter review, that there is some type of hierarchical structure to our government. Because right now, if anyone's read the Marshfield Charter, it's a very flat government. You don't know who is accountable to whom. And if we have a strong town manager with some type of hierarchy, we can get some accountability to government fiscally and to these departments. And I think that will help Marshfield run efficiently like any corporation.
Okay. Now, Steve, what do you think about that? Same idea. What do you think? Town manager, town administrator, three-member board, five-member board.
Well, I agree with my other two candidates who already spoke with the five-member board. I think it's definitely time for the town to have a five-member board. Most of the other boards have at least five members. If you, as Joe just said, it gives you a wider range of ideas and thoughts on any given issue. You have people sometimes can't make a board meeting. You only have two people making a decision. I think that we need to go to a five-member board. As for the representative town meeting as opposed to the open town meeting, which I think is something that's being kicked around. I'm not a fan of that. I agree with Larry on that. I think right now there's some issues with the way the town meeting is conducted, but I don't think they're so severe that we should scrap it. I like the idea that people could come and have their voices heard directly. We're still small enough to do that. As far as this, the strong town manager, I do think we need to simplify the structure of the town. I think we have, I don't even know, I was looking at the charter view last meeting, and they just came up with all the different boards and commissions we have. I want to say there's in the range of like 30 of them, and they all most report to the selectmen. We need to somehow simplify the structure, but maybe some additional responsibility to the town manager, but I'm not in favor of a real strong town manager. I do think, though, we probably need the right selectmen, which is part of the issue.
Okay. Same question to you, Thomas Vasirka.
Yeah, I'm all for a five-member board also. I was in town hall this week, and one of the women behind the counter said that, no, we'll never get it because you can't get, five good candidates to run. Well, there's four great ones in the race, and that's what I said to her. There's four great ones in the race right now. So that's just, you got to change the mindset of some people. They have it in their mind that, that it's not going to happen, but there are quality people out there that will step up if the need occurs and the openings are there, and they feel as though they need it. As far as an administrator, I think there should be a term on it. I don't think it should be an indefinite one, because I think sometimes they get complacent in where they're at, and I think that, that should be, every 3 years or every 4 years, it should be somebody new, because I feel as though they lose sight of what they're really there for. And for town meeting, I really don't think, that needs to change. I'd like to see more people go to it. Maybe, find out why more people can't go to it and have their voice heard, because they certainly will complain afterwards, but you got to go to the meeting to have your voice heard.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's my belief on it.
Okay. Any follow-ups? Kevin
Townshend? I have a follow-up.
Okay.
Do you mind, sir?
You're wasting time. Ask the
question. Yeah, right. I love town meeting. And I'm a resident of Plymouth, where we have representative town meeting, and I can't participate. So I would like to ask each of you, where did we leave off? Let's start here with Steve. What do you like most, and what frustrates you most about open town meeting, in Marshfield in particular, and do you have any ideas as to how to encourage participation?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I actually, what I like most about the town meeting is that people can get up and voice their opinion. There's discussion that they should limit, if someone has the same opinion as someone else, they should limit it. I don't think they should do that. I do think that it's a tighter control to, some people get up and they choose to take their time to say derogatory and uncomplimentary things about other people. I think that should not be allowed and tolerated. That's up to the moderator. So I think the moderator should take tighter control of that. The one issue I hear consistent is that it's difficult for people to attend because the meetings are very long and they've been several days and they may require childcare. I do think trying to find some way to streamline it a little bit would be a good idea. But I think that gets really the right way to go is the open town meeting. So, yeah.
Hey, Tom.
Yes, I believe in the same thing, the open town meeting. That way, there should not be any limits on. I know they were talking about trying to, limit how long they could talk for or how long they could have their response for. I don't think that's a true town meeting. I don't think that's hearing the people's voice be heard. If you're going to limit them on what they can say, yes, I mean, if it gets carried on where it goes too far, okay, yeah, maybe there should be something like a bell or something. But to limit people and say they only have a minute to make their point or say something, I don't believe in that. This is what it's all about, is for them to be active in the meeting and have their voice heard.
Larry, town meeting.
Yeah, I absolutely think we should stay with the with the open town meeting. Some people do kind of get up and drag things on, but they absolutely have their right to their voice and being heard. The town moderator, as you pointed out, kind of can keep things moving right along. One of the things that might be considered to get more people involved in the process is maybe change the day. Maybe have it on a weekend, have it on a Saturday and a Sunday, where you have 2 days in the weekend. I know myself, I've come out of work at being in Boston from 6 a.m. till nighttime and going to a town meeting. Wasn't something I was looking forward to. I think maybe if we had a weekend meeting, we might get more people involved. If we started on a Saturday morning, you might go 9 to 5 and then kick into Sunday if you need to.
And most towns meet Saturdays.
Yeah.
I'd be for that.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm all for an open town meeting and not an elected town meeting. A lot of frustration I hear is how long it takes. That people, as Mr. Keene just said, you come home from a hard day of work and then you sit there for 4 hours and they're going over one item that's $1,000 on a $90 million budget for 20 minutes. It can cause frustration for people. At the same time, we have to balance that with the questions or concerns that people have. And that's up to the town moderator. But however, I think if you're going to have a question, there should be a limit. If a 5-minute question isn't to bog things down. But as opposed to if someone wants to address a point of order, that's different. But I think that's up to the town moderator to move that along and to balance that so that people get out of there at a reasonable time and it doesn't take 4 nights to do that. And also, I think a lot of towns do have it on the weekend where people have the day and they're not as tired. And that's something that Marshfield should look into.
Madam Moderator, I cede my time to Mr. Tarchin.
I was going to ask if we can move the question, but seeing that the question has been ceded, I'll stay kind of along the lines of town meeting. I want to get each of your thoughts on the postponement of a town meeting-approved forensic audit of the town's indirect costs regarding the DPW's enterprise account. Now, I know it was an agreement that was made between the selectmen and the DPW, but I want to get your understanding on the situation and the possibility that the forensic audit could still happen. Tom?
I totally believe the forensic audit should happen. People voted on it at the last town meeting. There's no excuse for it not happening. I've been hearing different reasons for not happening. Oh, and my lower our bond rating, and it's a bunch of baloney. You know what? If they borrowed the money and took the money, say how much it was and either pay it back or let it be known what it was. Obviously, they don't want anybody to know what's going on, and that's why they keep putting the forensic audit off. I listened to the Public Works board meeting, I think it was last week or the week before, where Mr. Shaughnessy wouldn't make a decision because he felt as though it should be the new person coming in. That's not the case. The people voted at town meeting for this. I don't understand how clear it has to be. It should happen. It should have already happened. Shouldn't be still going on talking about it.
Joe?
I've looked at this from both sides, you know, and the people did vote for the forensic audit, and then it was tabled by the Board of Department of Public Works. I've heard the argument, well, they passed the budget, and that included the indirect costs, so isn't this an end run about that? However, we still need to look at what town meeting voted. They voted for this. It's something they should look into. But we also need to look at what's the end game. If this is going to affect, we have a AA bond rating right now, we're close to a AAA, and that can lower interest rates. So we need to balance those two things. If what is going to be the outcome of this indirect as opposed to isn't going to affect our bond rating, because that is more important than anything, because what we borrow, our interest rates, that can affect Marshfield for generations to come.
Steve, same question.
Yeah, I actually think the town voters are a legislative body. They made a decision. They voted for something. It should be what happened. We should carry it forward. I'm actually a very strong proponent of audits. Audits give you a chance to find things that are not being done right, and give you a chance to straighten them out and get your house in order. Most good audits are actually very strong assets. They aren't like just out to get you. This forensic audit, I just can't understand the argument that it would lower the bond ratings. People who do bond ratings are not stupid. They probably are aware this issue is on the table. They're not making a decision because we did or did not do this audit, in my opinion. If someone could demonstrate to me how it's affecting our bond rating, I'd love to see it, but I'm skeptical.
Larry?
I'm absolutely for the audit being done. The townspeople voted for it to be done. It was the will of the people. It should be done. I agree also when it was just stated that I think it's a scare tactic that we're going to lower our bond rating. It absolutely should be done. If we're doing something inappropriate with our record keeping, we need to know it. We didn't need to know it now. We need to correct it. Not that there was anything criminal done or anything really bad done. Maybe it was just a little bit of bad accounting, and it needs to be addressed and straightened out. Better now than later. As we're talking about kicking the can down the road, that's all we're doing now. If it's going to ruin our bond rating, if it pops up a year from now and really haunts us, is it going to really wreck our bond rating then? Need to address it now.
Quick follow-up, and I just need a yes or no from you. Any concerns that something nefarious is going on in regards to certain elected officials in regards to such situation? Larry, yes or no?
No.
No.
I don't have enough information. I'd want to look into it.
Okay.
No.
Any more of that? Okay.
I'll sit.
Well, that raised the temperature in the room quickly.
Definitely.
Yeah.
That's good. I'm going to switch topics here real quickly. This past fall, longtime football coach Lou Silva appeared to be on the verge of being pushed out of his position. Scores of players, fans, residents, and others came to his support. What do you think about the way this was handled by the school officials, who basically stonewalled the press, not even to say that they couldn't comment until they couldn't ignore the press? And please don't say you can't comment on this. It's a personnel issue because you're not a member of the Board of Selectmen. Let's start here with you, Larry.
Tell you the truth, Mr. Silva was a coach when I was in football, and when I was playing football at Marshfield High School back in the late 70s and 80s. He was a nice man back then. I'm not familiar with the situation. I'm not familiar with Mr. Silva, so I really couldn't comment on him. I know he was very good to the kids in this town, and I'm sure he's a very good man. Whatever came up, I'm really not familiar, so I wouldn't be able to comment too much on that.
Okay. Thomas Vasirka, any comments about the situation, about the way it was handled by school officials, which was basically ignore everybody?
Yeah, I think it was handled inappropriately. I think they should have waited until the end of the season or end of the year, and then had a discussion and, filled people in on what was going on, as opposed to the way they did it, and then not telling anybody why. And then you have a whole community coming to his aid and coming to his, wanting him back. And then they end up hiring him back under conditions that, he'll finish the year and then he won't be doing it anymore. I don't think that's appropriate. If you have a good, especially he's not a teacher there, is my understanding from what I heard, should not be the reason why he can't coach. If he's an excellent coach and he's good with the kids and he has the right interest in mind, that shouldn't matter.
Okay. Let's go. Same question to you, Steve Moore.
Yeah, I'm going to make it brief because I don't have enough information. And I'm not familiar with the issue at all, and I just don't feel it would be appropriate to make much of a comment.
Okay. Joseph Kelleher.
Thank you. I'm all for trying to bring transparency to this to town government. And although this was a school department issue, this is something, if you're going to make a decision, you should get out in front of it and tell the public, we made it, and this is why, unless there's some privacy issues. Because what happened here is that they didn't, and then people protested, and our police had to be called in, and resources are used, and I think wasted resources of the police. Whereas if we got out in front of it, whether you like the decision or you don't like the decision, here's the decision, here's why we made it, and here's where we're going. Let's bring transparency back to town government.
Okay, let's go now to Kevin Tachi.
Gentlemen, this is a two-part question. And I want to know, where do you stand on businesses approaching the town regarding medical and or recreational marijuana? And now the follow-up question to this is this an industry the town should keep out of the community at all costs or be proactive but put proper guidelines in place to generate revenue for the town? We'll start with you, Len.
And just think, hold that 1 second. Just want to do the station ID here. Listening to 95.9 FM in Marshfield, the South Shore's news and information station. It's a political forum tonight. The candidates for Marshfield Selectmen. Thank you very much, Kevin Tachi.
She did that so well, didn't she, folks?
That's Larry, why you paid the medium bucks.
Larry, you're your first, sir.
We go back to, it is the will of the voters. The people did pass it in the state of Massachusetts. I believe it did not pass in the town of Marshfield. I, for one, did not vote for it. I do not use recreational marijuana. As far as it coming to the town of Marshfield goes, I probably would not be for it. I absolutely wouldn't be for it. There's plenty of towns. I think it's going to end up being handled just like alcohol, which I'm very familiar with. And there's no reason we couldn't be the proverbial dry town. Milton has been a dry town for alcohol forever, and they seem to survive. So maybe if it's something that the people of Marshfield did not want to have in Marshfield, so be it.
Joe, same question.
Recreational marijuana, absolutely 100% no. With medical marijuana and speaking with law enforcement officials, if you say no to it, then people can claim hardships and grow it in their home because it's become legal in Massachusetts. So now we have different homes. I think it's up to 6 to 12 plants. I can't remember where it is. And that could cause a problem with police if they say, well, we have all these homes. It's not in one spot. Whereas if it's been zoned in Marshfield in the industrial park, it's medical marijuana, it's one spot, the police can look at it, focus on it, and I think that's a safer community as opposed to saying no, people claim a hardship, and now we got it in 50, 60, 70 homes in the town, and that's a waste of police resources. And it's a place to, it's also an avenue to raise revenue under the right circumstances. The state has also, I think we also need to wait, see what the state says before we make a final decision. Thank you.
Thank you. Steve?
As far as the the recreation medical marijuana. I mean, regardless of whether it's recreation medical marijuana, the law that just was passed does allow individuals to grow it in their home either way. So that doesn't really help the situation, focusing just on the medical. I would like to see the will of the voters. And as Larry said, my understanding is the Marshfield residents did oppose it. So I don't particularly think we'd have to have a facility here. It might be something to make a specific question on a town meeting sometime. But I if we were to do it, I would really try to make sure it was done in such a way. I would not want the building to be prominent. Wouldn't want it to be in the center of downtown, somewhere out of sight. And it would not attract traffic of young people walking by it all the time. I'm not personally opposed to the use of recreational marijuana, but I do think it needs to be managed correctly. And one other thing is, though, there have been a number of recent studies that show that legalization of recreational marijuana does reduce the use of opioids. And that's a major crisis we have in this city and the state. And I think something at least should be considered in making our final determination.
Tom?
Again, the voters in Massachusetts did vote for it. Marshall, I believe, did not vote for it. I personally didn't vote for it. I'm not against it. Again, I believe if you're going to have it, like the gentleman just said, it should be regulated pretty severely and monitored. You hear instances now, once you start with that, then they have the brownies, they have the cookies, they have the candy, and where is that ending up? It ends up with the kids. And kids have been, you know, gotten sick, had to be taken to the hospital. It should be something, if that's what it's going to be, it should be treated like a drugstore, that it's severely monitored and prescription only and regulated. And if it's going to be revenue for the town, it's revenue for the town, but, I mean, kids, they're getting it anyway. So whether they get it here or don't get it here, they're going to bring it in. I mean, I'm all over Boston, and they're smoking in the cars, they're smoking it everywhere. So it's not something that's not happening. And to say it's not going to happen here, they're doing it. So I didn't vote for it, and Marshall didn't, but I don't think you're going to have a way of getting around it eventually.
Can I chime in on this again real quick?
30 seconds.
This is kind of an important issue. We are dealing with two different things, medical marijuana and recreational. Medical is a totally different issue. The recreational was I was referring to about keeping out of the town. And one of the ways of doing so, the selectmen currently kicked the can down the road. I don't believe that. We should be addressing it now with just stricter enforcement. Strict enforcement of what's on the books right now. You can't walk down the street drinking a beer. You shouldn't be able to be walking down the street smoking marijuana. Strict enforcement.
Okay. Let's go to you, Charles. Matthew, some questions?
I'd like you all to imagine Marshfield on a Google Map image, a bird's eye view, so to speak. And you'll see that it's aptly named. From Crean Harbor to downtown and from Humorock to downtown, there's more marsh than fields. I know it's very popular to oppose the flood insurance maps, but is loosening the requirements of flood insurance to mollify residents today really ignoring the inevitable? It's a wet, I know you mentioned that Milton is dry, and apart from the Neponset River it is, but this is a very wet town. Should we have a little bit more leniency with the flood maps? I think we're beginning with Tom this time.
I personally do believe we should have some leniency with it. I've seen some of the new changes that they're proposing, and especially in Brant Rock now and down that area, they're talking the new Hatheads that was just built wouldn't conform to today's remapping. It would have to go up even higher than it is. We go up much higher, we're going to be living in trees. There's a house they just built on Plymouth Ave. It's probably 15 feet in the air. You're going to need an elevator just to get to the front door. Yes, there are some areas that do take on water. They've been raising the height of the seawall. That has helped a tremendous amount. I live right near there. I've yet to see water come down my street. I'm right across from the numbered streets. I haven't seen water come down my street yet. So to say that, you know, and my rates went up too because I've been paying the insurance and it went up. I definitely think it needs to be remapped and redone correctly. I think they just used a broad brush when they did it, and now we all stuck with it until we can get it fixed.
Larry, should we be stricter or more lenient with the flood?
Absolutely
maps?
More lenient. We are definitely inflicting people that are never going to get flooded with flood insurance costs. And my in-laws live down in the Green Harbor section of Marshfield. They've been there since the 70s, I believe. They've never had a drop of water on their property. They are in the high flood zone. And I think all they're doing, I have a friend that lives up here by Gerard's Farm who's in the flood zone. all you're doing, all FEMA is doing, is trying to raise money from people that are never going to get a drop of water on their property to the people that are living on the coast that get pummeled every single year. I had a piece of property in Brent Rock that got flooded consistently, constantly. Those are the places that need the high flood insurance. The other places, Hadad's, if Hadad's gets flooded, we got more problems than just Hadad's getting flooded.
Joe, should...
I am absolutely for loosening it. And in fact, you know, the selectmen 2 years ago, along with Scituate and Duxbury, appealed when the FEMA maps came out. And I believe over the time period, 450 homes have come off the FEMA map. And if elected, I would continue with that, with the appeal, to make sure that these homes that, as my other candidates have said, are never going to have a drop of water, that are improperly zoned, are not in there. And I think that the course the selectmen have been taking by appealing this is the right course, and it's something that we should continue to make sure that the proper homes are in there and get the homes that are never going to have water out of there, because it's just there's people that are being charged exorbitant amounts, will be charged, that should never occur.
Steve, is this another example of kicking down the road?
Well, with regard to the flood maps, I agree with my other candidates. The issue is not whether or not we should be lenient or not on the maps. The maps were flawed. They were not done scientifically correctly. So the town did hire consultants who were able to prove some of the flaws of the map. Unfortunately, they didn't have the time and resources to focus on all the areas of town, but did successfully address some strong success in particular areas. So, there's no question that the tides are rising. There's no question that the earth is warming. That's not the issue. We're going to have to continue to address this, but to have a flawed methodology used to develop the maps in which to predict the flooding doesn't help anyone. You have people who have questioned whether or not they can still keep their homes because of the rising cost of flood insurance. One of the things I think they should do, I just had a house built. It's 8 feet in the air. It's on pilings, and because of the rising flood zones. And if just like with Hadad's, if tomorrow they change the maps, I'd no longer be in compliance. In my opinion, if you build the house under the guidelines that are appropriate at the time you build the house, you should be grandfathered. It's just a bit. So what ends up happening is you change the rates overall. This is only subsidized that, but you shouldn't have to then be out of compliance just because I couldn't have built it any higher. So thank you.
I'm just going to ask you a quick follow-up question to that, and I'm going to switch to topics here. This is a yes-no. I'm going to jump ahead. Do you think the federal government should be in the business of flood insurance? Yes or no, Joe Kelleher?
No.
Okay. What do you think?
Absolutely.
Steve, you think yes? Okay.
Because you can't buy otherwise.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then what? Joe?
Tom.
Tom. I'm sorry. Tom?
No.
Okay.
Yes, Larry? But they need to be smarter about it.
Okay. All right. Now I want to switch topics and go to one of my favorites, and that's county government. Plymouth County government, do you support it or not? What specifically does it provide to the town of Marshfield? Let's start with you, Larry.
As far as Plymouth County government goes, being part of the Plymouth County overall, mm-hmm. I think Marshfield needs to concentrate on their local government more so. They need to start concentrating on what's going on in the town, not so much the Plymouth County themselves. We need to get our own house in order first.
Okay, and I do have a follow-up question when I asked this about the county commissioners recently proposed a pay raise or reinstatement of their salary from $15,000 to $28,000. Do you support that too? So let's go to Larry. Do you support that?
I mean, not in support of any pay raises, no.
Okay, all right. Mr. Vasirka, what do you think? County government, Marshfield, what do they get out of it?
I think they should worry about what's going on, as Larry said, and what's going on in the town right now, as opposed to worrying about, Plymouth County. As far as the pay raise, no, absolutely not. They don't have the money for what we're doing now.
Do you know anything that we get from county government? I mean, otherwise you were saying they offer services and things like that. Are you aware of anything?
I'm not aware of it. I'd have to look into it more.
But okay. Dave Moore, what about county government? Do you know what?
Well, the only thing I'm aware of we get is there's the deeds, the title service, the land courts that we have in Plymouth. They store all our land records. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I'm really not aware of what else we would get that has a substantial value. I mean, if there is something, I'm just not exposed to it yet. So we'd be willing to look into it. But I would say agree. I think we would need to get our own house in order and be very careful what we spend to support other bureaucracies.
So what about a reinstatement or a pay raise for county commissioners?
Again, I'm not familiar enough with the issue to give an opinion.
What about you, Joe Kelleher? County government. we get anything from it here in Marshfield?
We do get some benefit from it. We have the Plymouth County Sheriff's Department, which does,
That's the state now that does that. They switched
over. I've seen them provide services to that effect in town. We have the district attorney's office, things of that nature that help the town. But also, I think we do need to get our own house in order. It's more important than county government, and I am not in favor of pay raises.
Okay, let's go to you. Charlie, yes?
Yeah, because I follow Plymouth County government. Green Harbor is being dredged by the county, and they have an OPEB trust fund that's been very successful. I could go on, but I won't.
I thought they hadn't even started dredging the harbor yet, the county.
They're
still taking bids.
No, they have an agreement with Marshfield to dredge Green Harbor.
Yeah, but they haven't actually done it yet, though. Remember we brought that up
It's only April. They have the agreement in place to dredge.
Okay, we can go back and listen to some of the old forums. They haven't actually, even with the dredging equipment, they haven't actually dredged anything yet with a $247,000 piece of equipment, ever, anywhere. Just thought I'd mention that. And I know I'm going to get calls from the county commissioners, but that's all right.
Ah, Christy.
All right. Kevin Tachi.
Let's stick with
Dan Pallotta come into just about every political forum? I don't understand.
Gentlemen, how transparent or not is local government? Be specific. Joe.
I think it needs to be a lot more transparent. For instance, on our water bill, for every dollar that you pay, 70 cents is actually going to your usage, 30 cents is going to debt. I think this is something that the citizens should absolutely be aware of when they're paying the bill. We can put this on the town website, especially when we're paying our taxes. How much are we paying of our actual usage? How much is going to debt? This will make citizens more informed. As I was stating earlier, if they make a decision, such as they did with Coach Silva, government, we should be transparent. Why are we doing this? These are the reasons why. There's no substitute for information, so we need to get the information out to the citizens as to what occurring. That makes them better informed. It helps them with their decision making, and it takes away any mistrust or distrust that they would have in government.
Steve?
Yeah, I'm actually surprised as I go around talking to people, residents of the town, how little they know about what's actually going on in the town government for the most part. Not that there aren't some people who are very well informed, but for the most part they're not. I would like to see some sort of maybe quarterly report go out. It'd be great if we could do it in electronic means to lower the cost of it, or at least make it available in the town hall and make sure residents know it's aware. But one thing is, I'm a person with very strong financial skills. I went through the warrant. My head was spinning. I can't imagine someone wading through that and trying to, you know, make heads and tails of some of what's in there. It's just not presented in a way that's user-friendly. The town report, it's the same thing. There's a lot of information, a lot of it's good information, but it's not presented in a way that the average user could understand it. So that goes a long way to making things transparent. So if you present things so people can understand it, as opposed to just giving it to them, I think that would help a lot.
Thomas, same question.
Yeah, I believe we definitely need to be more transparent in what's going on. We pay a lot of money in taxes. I'd like to know where all the money is going. Like Joe said and Steve has said, you do get the reports. You do see the piece of paper you can get at town hall, and there's lots of numbers on them. But if you're not paying attention, not knowing how to read them, it's very hard to figure exactly where all the money is going to. And I think that with more transparency, like he said, electronically getting it out to people. I've talked to people at Roach Brothers. I've talked to people at, you know, hockey. It's a lot of the younger ones. I don't know if it's because they're so busy. They have no clue what's been going on and what's happening. And I know everybody's life is busy, but maybe a quarterly report or, something more so that people can actually see it come to their house and they'd have to physically look at it, I think. Because if it comes by email, they may not look at it. They may just delete it.
Larry, same question, sir.
Well, we absolutely need to be more transparent. I think we answered that earlier with the forensic audit study. That's being kicked down the road, that doesn't want to be done. I think that not being done alone gives a kind of shadow of doubt of there being transparency, and getting that audit done would kind of open things up. The website could be a lot more informative for people of what's going on a daily basis around town, what projects are being done, and who's working where, so you can kind of see where your tax money is going. There's an issue right now going on with paving Spring Street with the water budget. whether the water bill's paying for the paving or it's part of the project for doing the paving project. That's kind of confusing right there, who's going to pay for it. That type of stuff should be more clear. And with this forensic audit, you're going to get a lot of that.
Mr. Mathewson.
Mr. Keene and Mr. Vasira, Joe and Steve here have experience in town government. You don't. Why should people vote for you? Larry.
Well, for starters, I'm coming from the other side of the counter. I've renovated a commercial building in town. I went through that process. I know the pains that I went through to having get that done. The other members are coming from the other side of the counter, that they see it from the town's point of view. I'm coming at it from the taxpayer's point of view. I see area of opportunities in these services that can be changed. I think that would be very beneficial to the town. Me personally, Joe's a great guy. He's been here for 15 years and is an appointed board. What's been done? What's been changed? So if we get somebody that's been in position for 13 years, you're not going to get the fresh ideas. You kind of get stuck in the mode of, this is the way, you can't do that, you can't do that. Well, maybe you can.
Tom Vasira.
Like Larry, I myself come from the other side of the counter. I've had to deal with certain boards on certain issues in certain, you know, departments. Like I said earlier, pulling an electrical permit, it's not an easy process. Just from a simple electrical permit, things could be streamlined. The way with the people that have been in there, not so much, I'm not saying anything towards Joe, but it's not, people aren't happy with the way things are going in town. And talking to the people, no one is happy with the way town hall is being run. They want change. They want somebody with new ideas, somebody that's going to be a voice for them and have their concerns at heart. And I feel as though, coming from the other side, being a taxpayer, I see what's going on. I've been watching what goes on. I've been in some of the town, some of the meetings, the board of selectmen meetings. I've been at the Conservation Commission meetings. I can tell you, delay means everything to them. Delay, we'll put it off to the next week, put it off to the next week, everything gets put off. Make a decision and end it. They can't do that. They got to keep putting it off. So I myself think, I come from the other side, you want change, then you should vote for me.
Steve Maurer, are you part of the entrenched establishment, and can you make an unpopular decision?
Can I make a, yeah, ask my wife. yeah, I could definitely make an unpopular decision. I don't consider myself part of the entrenched establishment. I guess I would like to take somewhat of an issue with the question, though, that you just asked the other two candidates, because the last thing I want to do is get people in town to think that the only way you can run for office in this town is if you're already part of the establishment. And I think that shouldn't be the case at all. I think we have good people who are in our on our boards, and I think we have great people who are also not on our boards. So I don't think that should be a requirement or the sole benchmark. I think you should look at the skill sets of the individual, what they bring to the table, and what the town needs at the time. So,
Joe Kelleher, are you part of the entrenched establishment? Yeah. Can you make an unpopular decision?
I have made unpopular decisions many times. It's very difficult when you know you have to make a decision that's going to disappoint people that you like and respect, but you're doing that because it's in the best interest of Marshfield. With all due respect, none of my opponents have done that. And because you're abiding by the bylaws. Mr. Keene said that he's looking at it from the other side of the counter, and it's different from mine. I couldn't disagree any more than that. I'm looking at it from both sides because I've represented people on that side of the counter. I've gone in front of different boards. I've seen how other towns work. I can bring to Marshfield what works better in other towns. I've also seen how, especially with the Zoning Board of Appeals, how our workload has increased, and a lot of that has to do with certain decisions aren't being made. I would bring that fresh new perspective on how to decrease that workload to these volunteer board members. And I'm looking at it from 360 degrees and not one side of the counter.
Okay, I'm going to go to our lightning round then. We're going to go to closing statements. Believe it or not, it's already 20 after 7 here. So remember, lightning round, either yes or no answers or one or two sentences if the reporter, whatever the reporter asks you for. I'm going to ask you the first lightning round question. If you consider the way the town of Marshfield runs as a business, I want you to grade that business from an A to an F. Let's start over here. Larry Keene.
I'm going with a C.
A C, okay. Thomas Fick.
I'm going with a D.
Okay.
Steve. B-.
B minus. And Joe.
C plus.
Okay.
Interesting grades.
Kevin Tachi.
Gentlemen, is Prop 2.5 still an effective mechanism to fund a community's municipal and educational needs, or does it need to be modified? Now, you can give either a simple yes or no, or I'll allow up to two sentences. We'll start with Joe.
It's the will of the people. The problem with that is that you know that every year you're going to get 2.5% increase. So I think it needs to be looked at to see whether that's really meeting our needs.
Okay.
It's the will of the people because we have people in place who don't know how to manage a budget and to put a budget together.
Okay.
And
Thomas?
I agree. We all voted for it when it came up. It is the will of the people. And how to manage the budget and how to allocate money appropriately, you shouldn't have a problem.
Okay.
Larry?
Yes, I believe we should stay within Prop 2.5.
Okay.
Let's reverse the order. Larry, what's lacking in Duxbury that Marshfield has?
A wall. We need to build a wall between Duxbury and Marshfield and make Duxbury pay for it.
But it's all wet between Marshfield and Duxbury.
Make it out of marsh bog.
Well, what a damning.
I'll tell you, what I was impressed with...
It's lightning round, sorry. Two sentences. We're really pressed for time.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll leave it on my wall.
What does Duxbury lack that Marshfield has?
Two sentences.
Money.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Our State. Residents. Our residents.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And Joe.
Our residents.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I want to go. Let's go to closing statements now because we're getting toward the end of the hour. Did that go quickly?
It went very quickly.
You guys have a very different look on your face than when you came in here.
That's right.
I bet you you're all really tough with a checkbook at home. That's what I'm picking up right now. All right. We're reversing the order. You have 1 minute for a final statement. Let's reverse the order, and let's start with Larry Keene. Larry.
In closing, I would again like to thank WATD and the people of Marshfield giving me the opportunity to present my thoughts and get your consideration for your vote. I love living in Marshfield and worked long and hard to buy the house I now live in with my family. Many of the things I moved back to are the things I want to keep in this town for the next generation. We have that small town feel and still just 30-minute ride to downtown Boston. Some of the best hidden secrets on the South Shore are in this town, such as our beaches, trails, harbors, and restaurants. Who doesn't love Haddad's, the Venus, the Bridgeway? Our town is a destination, and that's the area we need to key on. Lowe's, the Market Basket, and the Marriott are never coming to Brent Rock or Hummer Rock. Instead, we have the Brent Rock Market and the Fairview. We need to give these true small businesses the tools that not only succeed, but to thrive and service our community. Thank you for your time, and remember to vote for Larry Keene, Selectman, Saturday, April 29th.
Thank you very much, Larry Keene. Let's go to Thomas Fisurka now.
Again, in closing, I'd like to thank WATD for hosting this. I'd like to thank my fellow opponents for being here. As I spend more time with the Marshfield residents, I realize that they really want change. They're frustrated. They're not pleased with what they've been getting. They want and deserve better. We need someone to work hard on behalf of all the citizens, not some of them. This means working across all departments, through all the boards, and getting in and coming to a common goal and common agreement that we all can live with. We need to try to encourage more businesses to come to Marshfield, which would increase more revenue for Marshfield, and I believe would make Marshfield better. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Thomas Fisurka. Now let's go to Stephen Marr.
Thank you. The selectmen of the executive branch in Marshfield, the demands of the position require not only strong leadership, but also the financial, business, and entrepreneurial skills and experience that I have. The town is approaching almost $100 million budget. These skills become all the more important. If you agree, I ask you to come out and vote for me April 29th. Vote for Steve Marr. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And let's go to Joseph Kelleher.
Thank you very much. And thank you, WATD, for tonight and also for my fellow opponents. I think it's been a good exchange of ideas. The Marshfield selectmen are the CEOs of Marshfield. And I bring to the table experience in not only how this town has run, but how we can run better from my experience, not only working in the town boards, but professional experience as an attorney. I bring fresh new ideas that will help help make Marshfield run as a more efficient government that will better serve the residents and bring businesses to town. Right now, we're in 96% of our tax base is based upon residential income. We need to increase that to meet the demands of the future because our population will be changing. Our senior citizens will be doubling in the next 13 years, and we need to forecast and get ready for that. And I hope that I've earned your vote, and please consider me for a vote on April 29th. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You've been listening to a WATD Political Forum. The race is for Marshfield Selectman. The election is April 29th. You've been listening to Lawrence Keene, Thomas Viserka, Stephen Marr, and Joseph Kelleher asking questions with me. We've had, of course, Kevin Tachi, Monday Night Talk Show host, and our own Charles Mathewson. Amy Leonard's been keeping the time. Marshfield Community Television, thanks for helping us out here. This forum in its entirety will be up on the WATD website tomorrow, 959WATD.com. Selected cuts will also be during our morning drive news. And stay tuned to WATD for complete political coverage. We will have reporters out on all these elections and bring you the results just as soon as they are in. Remember, if you don't vote, you don't have a voice. I'm Christine James, 959 WATD.